Okay, welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt regular council meeting for December 16th, 2024 at 7:14 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3rd, 2024, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was transmitted to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Lou Ezekoff?
No.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Hirschstrom?
Here.
Ms. Tina Kaufman-Maruf?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here. Okay, I'm going to save my report for the end of the meeting. Let's finish all our business first, and then I'll see that this is the last meeting of the year. So I'm going to go directly to public comment on agenda items only, and I'm going to open the floor at 7:15 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who has anything they'd like to say that is on our agenda? I'll just explain to you. So anything that's on the agenda is if you would like to speak or ask a question about it now, and then there's a second public portion at the end of the meeting, and then you can bring up anything at all. It doesn't have to be something that's on the agenda. All right, I'm going to close public portion at 7:16 p.m. Minutes, we have the regular council meeting minutes from August 5th, 2024. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion?
These were minutes that were amended in any way, at least modified?
Yes.
What's the difference between these and the previous 7 minutes?
So you didn't read it?
No, I did, but I didn't go through it with a fine-tooth comb.
The mayor's report, page 3.
Okay. What about the public comment section? That was.
No, I reviewed them, and I thought they pretty much captured the essence of what was discussed.
Okay, you went through that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I thought it captured, you know, they're not supposed to be verbatim, so.
I know it.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
No, they don't. They
actually, if we follow Robert's rules, right, they're not supposed
to
be.
Not a transcript.
Okay. Roll call.
But there's a bond ordinance on those minutes that I have to
Right.
Send this with that paperwork to him.
Yeah.
He's been saying, they're coming.
Yeah, minutes are necessary for things like that and also for grants sometimes. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah. Right, roll call.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hirschstrom?
Yes.
Ms. Kaufman-Maruf?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, we come to correspondence. We have a letter received from Roberts Engineering regarding the 2025 New Jersey Department of Transportation stating that Roosevelt has been awarded $135,910 through the 2025 Municipal Aid Program for improvements to Lake Drive and South Valley Road. Do you want to discuss that now? Do you want to discuss that?
I do have that under new business.
Oh, okay. So we could do it later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we also have we received from the Monmouth County Board of County Canvassers the 2024 general election statement of determination, which is basically certifying the election and certifying that Tina Kaufman-Maruf and Ralph Warnick won election as the council people for beginning in January 2025. Right, we come to the consent agenda resolutions. We have resolution 24-124, payment of bills, December 16th, 2024. Resolution 24-125, resolution requesting approval of items of revenue and appropriation, which is NJSA 40A, :4-87.
What is that?
That's for amphitheater funds or something, was that it? That were transferred into the
Yes, budget. So it was money that we didn't
DEP.
Anticipate.
From the fund
that was in the budget.
Yeah. To pay for the DEP wetlands permit, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Resolution 24-126, resolution awarding a contract for curbside recycling services. Resolution 24-127, resolution awarding a contract to DG Acoustical Ceilings, LLC. I think we all know why that's on there.
Yes, and great
you can tell them what happened earlier today while you were here.
The light fell open, scared the bejesus out of me.
Just
but I moved really quickly. I was out of the way if it had actually come all the way down.
This was just a couple hours ago. Another one fell.
One of the lights.
It's not even, so like the latch must be like, I don't know, like slowly in the, you know, whatever, vibrating from the wind on the roof, whatever, it must have latched just for slowly work itself open, and then because it's tilting, it automatically, like, just popped open.
It's never going to lose if it hits and injures an attorney.
Good. Although on the bright side, I have been really disabled not to be able to do my job, so. Probably saved you on that end.
Yeah. I'm glad
I'm also fast.
Yes, you move very fast.
I also, I escaped death this weekend. I ran through a red light and hit another car.
So
I don't know if you noticed, my car's not out there because you won't see it again.
I did.
It's been like a pretzel.
I knew you were here and I didn't see your car.
It's a big white SUV.
Yeah, it's totaled.
Are you okay?
I'm okay, yeah. I'm hard to kill. The light's not going to get me. The car's not going to get me. I'm good.
How'd you run
the road? A lot of airbags. I was playing with the radio and it was green and then I put out the radio and then after the accident, I had my post office box key in my pocket, which I keep in the car, which means that I changed the radio, and then I also went in the console and got the key, which is probably the extra time when I looked up, and the light was red, and there was a Ford Explorer sitting right there off the front of the car. And
you're not hurt at all?
No, I just bounced around the car for a few seconds, and then I kicked the door open and got out and tried to get to the other car. And then by that time, the Mr. Boo-Boo guy had run out, and we both pried her door open. And then she walked out, too, and we both walked to the curb together. No bleeding, nothing broken.
Thank
God.
But all your airbags, I'm sure.
Yeah, my car is completely destroyed. Like, that beautiful car that I used to drive here is completely beautiful. I just got it, emptied it out today, and the whole front end, it looks like a dinosaur, like, bit it sideways.
Wow. Thank God you were.
I'm about 50, 40, 50. I was on Highway 34.
Yeah, you're going 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, the speed limit is 45.
So, you know.
I was probably going 50.
Now one more thing is going to happen, because now you almost got hit by the light.
Well, I know it's going to happen. I'm definitely going to get sued, even though that lady walked over the curb with me. Because I was so at fault for the accident that, you know. Maybe. It was not a fender bender. I can tell you that. And I was very happy that I walked away.
You were by yourself?
I was by myself, and she was by herself, and we both walked to the curb together, so that was all as well as well. What's that? No, I have I have the Nebraska license plate car, because I had to rent the car.
Yeah.
So that's...
They should just use it to stay in bed.
Yeah, you better watch out. Now I can spy on people. The other car was too conspicuous, but...
I think you should stay in bed the rest of the year.
It's not that long.
It's my,
Okay.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I didn't mean to hijack your meeting with like amazing story.
But that's what day was that?
Buy American, saved my life.
No, but what day was that?
Of Saturday morning, like
so Saturday,
10 o'clock in the morning.
Monday, the light.
I got my coffee. I was going to the post office box, and I should have waited to get the key so I pulled up to the post office. I guess.
Yeah, that's the moral. There are 24.
Yeah, okay. Returning to the consent agenda resolutions, we have Resolution 24-128, Resolution authorizing return of escrow funds, Resolution 24-129, a resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt awarding contracts for provision of certain chemicals to the Borough's water and sewer utilities, Resolution 24-130, resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt approving change order number 1 and final payment number 2 to Earl Asphalt, God bless you, company for the emergency sewer main extension at South Valley Road. And want a separate one?
That's a
yeah. Okay. So do I have a motion?
I do have.
Okay. To adopt, Lou?
Yes. Yep.
Second?
We're doing the 24-month, 30-month separately?
Separately, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it needs votes, right?
I need four.
Yeah.
Four.
Okay. Second? Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Hesikoff? Is that a yes, please? Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstra?
Yes.
Ms. Faulkner Maroof?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda resolutions have been adopted. Resolution 24-131, a resolution authorizing transfer of appropriations for 2024. This is our standard end of the year budget transfers. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Hesikoff? Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstra?
Yes.
Ms. Faulkner Maroof?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, the consent agenda resolution, the resolution 24-131 has been adopted. We come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Hesikoff, administration.
What do you want to know?
Whatever you want to tell us.
Everything is staying as well. It's running well.
Good.
Thanks to you know who.
Yeah, we know.
I'll keep cooking bottle
after that.
Okay, Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
Most of the finance things were already covered with resolutions and that kind of thing. We did get DOT money for this year for Lake and South Valley, is that right?
Yes.
Lake and South, yeah.
No.
Was that?
Yes, yes, we were awarded.
The other one was Lake and Spruce.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's why I was easy on that. We got $135,910 for a grant, and so we also have the $183,337 for Lake Spruce. That was a 2024 award. So we have some money, we just have to figure out what we're doing with those funds. We'll be talking about that. Let's see if there's anything else. We have under discussion the generator maintenance contracts. We don't have to discuss that on the finance. I don't think there's anything else in the end of the report.
Thank you. Councilmember Hurstrom, community development.
Okay, just an update on the FDR amphitheater is that we are still waiting for a proposal from Robert Engineering for us to do the digging out there and take a look at what the conditions of things are. So hopefully we'll have that hopefully at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Kaufman Maroot, Environmental Health and Safety.
Yeah, nothing to report yet except waiting to hear about that rescheduling of the gathering for the stormwater.
For the wetlands?
Yeah.
I mean, Millstone
watershed?
Yeah. So, nothing to report.
Okay. Councilmember Mocker, Public Works?
Something worth talking about.
Okay. And Councilmember Trammell, Utilities?
This past weekend, Saturday about 1 a.m., power went down at the water plant. Generator came on. John Holden reported it. I reported it. They got power back up by around 3:30. There was a down high voltage power line somewhere on North Valley Road. And there was no damage. Generator turned off. Everything was back to normal. So, all good.
Okay, good.
That was Saturday?
Saturday at 1 a.m. I get a text message from this problem at the plant. 1 a.m. there was a problem. John and I spoke around 9 or 10. And he called it down to the regular emergency group. I texted Tina, who's our regional manager, let her know there was an emergency, and was in touch with Peggy and Anna at the same time. So I was back and forth there for about 4 hours, and I'll put my time card in later.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Reports of borough officials? Just go right to the mic.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. I still don't have a complete answer for you that they can't do it February. I know Michael Ticken did not want to do January, but I think January would be far better than March. So I'm going to negotiate with Michael Ticken.
Thank you.
That's about the watershed institute meeting? Or?
Yes, the joint meeting with the watershed.
Okay, did you want to discuss the petition or continue to hold off on that? Okay. All right, new business. We have the 2024 and 2025 NJDOT Municipal Aid funding awarded for Lake Spruce and Lake South Valley. We need some new names for streets here.
So the letter is in your packet of what Carmela said.
Yeah, correct.
And we have to do an award by November 1st of 25.
Next year.
No, we need to make a decision by January because she still has to prepare the bid. I wouldn't wait too long.
I wouldn't either. It just takes a while.
It does. It could take you a couple of months to prepare them and go out to bid.
Tamara cost and with the North Valley cost and with the Homestead cost and with the Nerco Road cost.
Homestead?
Homestead we paved a while back. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just curious the difference between the cost of paving, how long the street and stuff like that. So,
okay, well you can't.
I just want to take a look. Wouldn't we have to make a decision tonight?
No, but soon.
When I looked at the engineering, it appears that we really need to upgrade the storm drains because there's new DP requirements for every.
There's a couple of 40 feet of water in it.
Yeah. And that's the main one.
Well, remember when they televised it, they found all those root balls that were shockingly.
That's why they want to televise it again because the chemicals that they put in to kill the root balls is supposed to take a couple of months to work. So we want to televise it just to see what it looks like now. And there's a 2 or 3 year guarantee on that. So.
And it was very expensive.
The televising?
No, the root thing. The chemicals.
Okay.
All right, well, we can.
Yeah, well, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's expensive and we have to really avail ourselves of it.
There's no provision in Carmela's proposal now to replace the sewer lines. So that would be a lot more expensive than chemical and the root balls, I believe.
And there's no water improvements that are needed.
Well, they're not necessary as far as
for ladies.
The paving on South Valley where it reaches Clarksburg needs to be done at some point because that's where we replace the sewer lines. And there's a couple of odd places on Lake that, you know, the sidewalks, the curbs seem to be for the most part intact. So, you know, it's something to be discussed, I'd say, in the January meeting.
Yeah, we can hold up till the second meeting in January probably because reorg will be a busy meeting, but by then we should definitely make a decision.
Yeah, we're moving at a good pace tonight. That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but so I'm going to put this on the second meeting in January. Are you going to follow up with Carmelis and get
between
your
now
answers?
And then?
I
will follow up with
13. It'll be January 20th.
Yeah, Mike Lyons is the one who.
Well, that's for the televising, but
yeah.
You
Well,
a discussion on length and...
Well, but we know that there needs to be 5 manholes replaced.
Whatever it is that you want your questions answered, we're just saying you should have them have your information by January 20th.
Mike and Mike will speak with Carmella, and whether we televise, that's maybe a council decision. That's going to cost a couple of bucks, so you know that has to happen.
We're just saying by January 20th, you should
that's
have.
That's our first meeting, our first spring meeting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Reorg happens to just fall on our regular meeting night. It's the first Monday of the...
So the
6th.
Yeah, it just happens. Coincidentally, it's our first meeting anyway.
We've done this before. We've had reorg.
Right, but reorg is a long meeting, so that's why I'm saying the second meeting we can...
Well, we will have a regular meeting aside from reorg.
We will, but reorg is so long, and the meeting that follows it, that I'm just giving...
It's all on one agenda now.
Yeah.
So,
but
no,
just
like
giving us a little extra time, we can probably wait till the second meeting, and then it gives you more time, especially the holidays are coming up, gives you more time to accumulate the information.
Okay.
I'm hoping that Carmella can get back to us during the first meeting, because that would be 6 weeks. I'm just hoping that Carmella can get back to us in the next meeting on her proposal.
Right. I'll send her a reminder in the next
meeting.
Okay, we need to discuss the generator maintenance for 2025. We received the quotes.
Looks like we received 2 bids. One is from Cooper and one is from
Modern.
Cooper actually installed the generators here originally, and I thought they'd be a great idea. They still exist, but their bid was twice as much as
Modern.
It was
extraordinarily
high. We had Modern before, and we were pretty okay with Modern. There was another company that wasn't good at all.
Well, Warshore didn't get back to us. That was the third
Warshore
one that we were...
installed a Verhall generator.
Yeah.
The ministry of maintenance, and we're not that good. But there was another company that was unacceptable. So I'd say Modern would be the one at this point.
What is the quality of these firms work? I mean, do they actually come out on a regular basis, do a thorough inspection, replace parts as needed, and
change the oil?
Yeah, I mean, do they actually do the work?
There is a contract, and it's like they turn them on. There is a normal routine maintenance thing, change the oil, change the filters.
Right.
They find out if there's any problems, like there have been. The one at the sewer plant, the heater was not working, there was another part that was not working, that whoever, I forget who was doing it now, but they blew it, they put the wrong part in, they had to come back later, they put a...
I think that was Modern, actually, and I might be wrong,
yeah.
So don't, but
I
think, I remember Modern having to come back.
I think Modern was the one we did last. Reappointed. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm not positive.
I just feel,
that.
I mean, I'm going to text Anna, but I feel
you
like...
You somebody local. Dustin?
Yeah, I remember there was an issue.
Yeah,
and I think Modern had to come back a couple times. Do you remember that, Steve, at all? I mean, it wasn't
because
public work.
Yeah, I remember it happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The important thing is that
it is Modern.
They're maintained to the extent that they come on when there's a power failure.
Oh, that's...
And, you know, I mean, do they really do that?
Yeah.
It came on Saturday.
Yeah. It came on and that worked. And they maintained that one also. But the one at the sewer plant, there was something odd. It had a leaky radiator. They replaced the radiator. They had the wrong part for the pressure valve or something.
Okay.
And
but they came back and made good on it.
Yeah,
good on
they
it,
did.
And they didn't charge us on that.
Right.
No.
Right.
So, you know, they sent different crews out, but that may have been Modern, but they were
so
at least responsible.
What's covered under the maintenance contracts generally?
I'd have to read it.
It's not all parts, it's just
routine. No, not all parts, because I think we have to pay for the radiator if we wanted to see it.
Yeah, I think it's a basic oil change. I don't want to...
Well, they run them for half an hour or so, they check the...
So it's an inspection, oil change, all the standard.
The important thing is that when it goes off, it's got to go on.
Exactly.
I don't know what if the proposals are a PM major and a PM minor.
Always.
They run it for half an hour and then they check all the levels again. The minor is they walk through and just turn it on, turn it off, make sure everything.
Oh, okay.
Minor, I think they do on monthly or bi-monthly or something. The major, they do on several weeks.
Now, do our employees test routinely test the?
No, I don't think they're qualified to do that.
We have an automatic one here. It used to go off over here, right? On some scheduled basis. And then the generator over here behind the hall.
I think it kicks on maybe once a week, like a test.
Right, like a test.
Yeah, a lot of the sewer plant would come on every Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, they do that. That's of the.
One of the water plants, since it's diesel, they're not supposed to just run it without it being accompanied by a person, you know. So, and there's air pollution and stuff like that. So different rules for the water plant generator as opposed to the sewer plant generator. And the one here is very modern. The other ones are large generators, the diesels at the water plant and the sewer plant.
Okay.
At some point, when we redo the trickling filters at the sewer plant, I talked with Carmelo about this a couple of times. There's going to be different breweries, so there might be a need for a new generator there also. The water plant, seems to be the one that is the most, it works all the time. It was only once that it didn't work.
Okay.
Way back in the beginning. And I forget what that was. So it was, I think that was a radiator thing also.
Yeah.
Radiator, and so the oldest, the radiators tend to get to one of the heat. No. So, these guys were put in, I guess, in the early 90s.
So we have one natural gas one here.
Here. The one at the sewer plant is also natural gas.
One diesel.
The one on Lake Drive is a generator.
Natural gas.
Natural gas also, right?
Okay.
And the one at the water plant is the only one that's diesel.
I'll read you the text from Anna. As I asked her, didn't we have a problem with Modern a few years ago where something was wrong and it took them a while to get back here? And she said, I think that was a different company. Modern Group is the one that put in the new radiator and it had a defective plug, and that leak ended up damaging the brand new block heater. So they replaced the block heater, labor, and material at no cost to the borough, which is the proper thing, but not everybody will always do
so
the proper thing.
That was the one at the sewer plant, and that was about a year ago that there was a problem with that.
So I would think that Modern then...
That's our low bidder, so that's...
So do we want to agree to...
I'd say Modern.
Modern. Okay.
We need to vote on that?
I'll put that on our resolution on the January 6th meeting.
Okay.
When does the contract run out?
That I don't know. So then we can pass the resolution at the 1-6-25 meeting to award the contract. That was Anna's email.
She just said exactly what I said. She said, I don't think we can blame Modern Group because the radiator came from the manufacturer with a defective plug, but at least they did the right thing and replaced the ruined block heater.
So that was the new radiator that
came with a defective plug, yeah.
That was defective, so
yeah.
Modern was not a fault there, but
right.
We did have crew and material
and labor.
Yeah. There was some company that we had, but she said they ended up having to eat several thousand dollars.
Yeah, that was a couple of thousand.
Modern did. But some other company we had a problem and we couldn't get them back right away.
We had a company, the one from Monmouth College, actually. So that was the point that... That just was not acceptable after a while.
Okay.
Okay. And
you're
going to
also...
Generator stuff.
You're going to connect him with Carmelo?
Does that work?
Velasco, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she has Cooper and Modern. Okay.
We're also on your new business. I just wanted to ask about I saw something that said we need to appoint Toro Latoya as municipal housing liaison.
That's not certain yet. There's a planning board meeting tomorrow night.
Okay.
So, in a town like this, it's very complicated.
Yeah, because we don't have that many borough employees.
Not, we have one.
And you have to
and
know
she's
the
not,
facts,
she's
yeah.
not even qualified to do it.
Right.
So, hopefully at the planning board meeting tomorrow night, between speaking with Michelle Donato and possibly Andy Thomas, we'll find out if there's some kind of special dispensation or what we can do. Because we have one employee, they have to go to a lot of classes.
Yeah.
They also have to have some credentials.
Right.
We just, you know, that does not fit Roosevelt's dynamics here.
Yeah.
Well, originally, yeah. So it's. I'm not going to discuss it tonight because since planning board's tomorrow night, you know, we'll see what happens. Or it is, you know, we can do a shared, possibly do a shared service,
okay.
Or we may actually have to hire someone. Depends. Like, you know, I prefer shared service, but I'll have a lot more information after tomorrow night. So, okay, come to Good and Welfare. Does anyone have anything they'd like to?
I'd like to say that this is Steve.
Well, I was going to address that at the very end of the meeting, so it wasn't mixed in with the business part of it.
And also the new council members.
Well, yeah, but, okay. You know, I was... Because then it goes to public comment and everything, so that's why I thought I'll wait till the very end.
Well, okay, so putting that, okay, let's get public comment.
I don't know if this was in part of Third Welfare, but I don't know if people saw that there was quite a few residents, I don't know if it's appropriate for this, but that the 18th...
That's on my list for my mayor's report, yeah.
Okay.
And it's not fixed yet. I seem to have... I just switched to AT&T after having Verizon from the first day I ever had a cell phone, so of course now it goes out. But I do have a little more, and I'm still down to two bars.
Yeah.
It's almost non-existent.
I was curious, though, if the information's accurate and the company, whoever people were speaking to, do you happen to know, don't they pay Roosevelt to have a tower? Because apparently the tower's deteriorated.
Yeah, there's a cell phone.
Yeah, we have
cell tower.
Yeah, we receive an annual. Yeah.
Right, and it's all covered in the ordinance.
Yeah.
They have to do the upgrades, the maintenance.
But I wonder if it's just, I mean, the cell tower is here, but I would imagine it's not just Roosevelt that doesn't have reception now. I mean,
okay.
Each town doesn't have their own cell tower, so it must be an area.
When the power went out Saturday at the water plant, it also went out.
I know, it knocked out.
Oh, and that's when the problem started.
But
AT&T was down, Verizon has a generator.
There's a big piece of equipment there.
That's what I was going to say. While I was there on Saturday, AT&T rolled in with a generator, plugged it in, and I believe that so it was missing for a while, for 6 hours.
Yeah, but it didn't change... We don't. Everyone with AT&T, we don't have reception.
But that's Saturday, and the generator just isn't making enough power,
right.
Or something.
Yeah.
So, but AT&T and the water tower seems to be the problem right now.
Yeah.
Now that the power's back on, AT&T's going to come and yank it.
Right. But it's 3 days already, so it's frustrating.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I don't know.
The generator is still there this morning.
Yeah.
And I was just curious where the terminology. From AT&T of deteriorating, what that meant.
Well, I don't know where you heard that.
From people who called, apparently, like residents who have.
Oh, and I heard from residents who called and couldn't get through at all.
No,
so
there's a few that
they did get
like
through.
At least two different people that got through, and that term was used by the AT&T people.
Well, there
are
to be honest, the people that you
not them.
Of course,
the people that you call at AT&T aren't even responsible for the site. They would have no way to even know that. Like
right.
The people, when they called and negotiated the lease with me, it's a company called Crown Castle.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure they're just telling them whatever.
Yeah,
but you can tell people that, like, you know, when you call them, like, they have no idea.
Yeah,
they don't
the call
even control
center,
it.
Right.
They know what the equipment, they know what's going on with the equipment, but they don't know anything about the site.
Yeah. My son flew home from L.A. a couple weeks ago. There was a big delay, and they announced that it was weather-related. Everyone in the airport's looking at their phone. It was sunny across the entire United States. And then when I got on the plane, they had a really honest pilot who told them that was a huge pilot shortage, and that normally 40 planes land per hour at Newark, but they were missing so many air traffic controllers that they were only landing 20 instead of 40. Yeah. So the pilot was honest with them, but in the airport they said, oh, it's weather related. And everyone's on their phone going, there's not a raindrop across the entire United States. So it's the same thing. They really don't know when you call that. That's why I didn't bother
with
that.
Well, I was just curious, what does that even mean?
Yeah, but quite a few people are, it is frustrating. I haven't been able to,
yeah,
the phone works as a phone, but not the internet. So. Yeah, that was part of my part of my list.
I always have a problem with the phone too on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
The phone part too?
Yeah,
actually I did too, but then nobody else seemed to, so then I just thought maybe
it was broken, like
yeah, my sister couldn't hear anything I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even called Joe for a phone test because
yeah, and it was intermittent.
Yeah, my sister kept saying, what, what, what?
So I saw the guys after they repaired the tower. They knew that there was a generator from AT&T over there. But they said, why don't you call the AT&T people? I said, the license plate was out of Tennessee or whatever from
yeah.
the people that brought the generator, so they have to know to unplug the generator.
So, but how does that work then? Like, who do you, like...
Good luck.
Well, I know when I get angry in a brick and mortar store, yes. I'm like, let me speak to your manager.
How about a refund for partial, you know, no service?
Yeah. But, like, if they have a contract with Roosevelt, is there not some...
Well, it's kind of separate. The contract is really just for the cell tower, for them to have their equipment on the cell tower.
Yeah.
Now, AT&T also handles all of the municipal police and fire.
Frankly, they wanted to just keep police and remove all their stuff. I'm sorry, Joe.
That's why they were here immediately to at least put a generator on. So the emergency services stuff is probably working okay, but the generator might not be enough to do the rest. That's the deal.
And it's pretty. It's not a big generator that they have.
It's a little putt-putt is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not when you transmit light from towers like that, you need a lot of power. You need real power, and they don't have it there. It's low power. So, yeah, is there a way that we can get in touch with AT&T and say, get rid of this generator and plug it back in?
I think Anna has a contact. I emailed her, somebody emailed me.
We've been getting calls left and right.
She said she's working on it. So, to me, I took it as should be hopefully fixed by tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, because this morning when I drove by, the generator is still there.
Yeah, it's been days since we've had a real reception.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's at string.
Yeah.
Yeah, generator is still
I wanted to just bring up something briefly that came to my attention regarding, and I don't know if it fits under new business, but regarding...
Well, we're under good and welfare, but...
Yeah, or under good and welfare. It doesn't really fit anywhere. Regarding voting in the election by absentee ballot, I know at least the one person who got a notice 3 or 4 days ago that their ballot was rejected.
Yeah.
Because they used the post office box number somewhere on the form. Now, I don't know if it was on the part you have to sign or where it was, but they used the post office box number. And that person said, well, I also used a street address plus a post office box number.
Right.
But now they notified me just a few days ago in December that my ballot was not accepted. They weren't given any right to cure it, to change it.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't given any call from Monmouth County Board of Elections. It was just invalidated. And you find out later, and it's upsetting to people because
on a few occasions...
Well, to put it mildly...
Yeah.
On a few occasions, I went through the same thing where I put down the post office number. On one occasion, I had to get a letter from the people that needed my address, take it to the post office, have the postmaster stamp it and sign it that Roosevelt does not deliver mail. So there's got to be a formal way around that.
Well, this has been a huge problem here only since we don't have our own residents working at the post office. So now, because when the people from Roosevelt worked in the post office, they all knew which box office, what our box number was, or where our box, whatever. Now, not only that they're not local, they're not from Roosevelt, but it's pretty transient. There's always different people. So the post office has really clamped down on insisting that we use the post office box. However, so many different companies, entities will not deliver to a post office box. So we are really caught between a rock and a hard place. Yeah. So on one hand, I talked to Andy Kim about it, but now that he's a senator, and so that's the federal government and the post office, I was just waiting. He was inaugurated recently, but you know, his term doesn't really start until January. I wanted to try to get a meeting with his staff, because it's just crazy here. Also, so the thing is, we can't, like, the post office is angry if you don't use the post office box. But, you know how many places won't deliver? So, we had a postal worker here when they first started really getting strict about you have to use your box, and then there's like, we don't deliver to a box. His name was Jack. I don't know if anyone remembers him, but he was a lovely man. And he taught me something. Now, I don't think it would work for the voting, for something that official, but for just packages or mail or whatever, he taught me something that I've used ever since that really works. He said, don't put P.O. box, put suite. They'll all deliver to a suite. So anytime I'm having anything delivered or any kind of form, I write 33 Homestead Lane, Roosevelt, New Jersey, suite 236, and I get it every time, because they will deliver to a suite, but not a P.O. box.
And
so,
and
in the post office, they don't care that it says suite instead of P.O. box. It just says 326, so they know what your box is. I don't think that would flow for the election. But
to the Board of Elections, one of my concerns would be, why don't they notify people who have a defective mailing ballot? Why don't they notify them before it's counted, before it's rejected?
Why?
And say, we realize there was an error on it. Would you like to come in and correct it? Give them a chance to cure that ballot. But they don't do that at the Monmouth County Board of Elections. And
you're supposed to.
Well, they didn't.
It's not the first time they've denied our
vote. I
don't know. Our
you
vote
call the Board of Elections.
Registration. Call the registration at the Board of Elections.
Yeah, but to find out, you know, like a month after.
It's not the first time that's happened.
That it didn't count.
Yeah, they've done that with the primary.
To bend, I want to vote twice, because they wouldn't take. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll talk to our elected officials about that.
They should at least allow once. So.
Yeah.
What? They should allow once. So. Well, I don't know about that too.
So remember that if it's not the election, use suite. As far as the election, but the whole post office, some of the residents stopped me recently because there's also somehow Amazon or one of them, like, it's on the GPS. It turns out that, like, say, 42 Pine is in Robbinsville, or like off of Nerco. Like, it's so
Millstone.
It's a mess. It didn't used to be. I don't know why it is now, but
I'll tell you, at this point, knowing what I know about mail-in ballots being rejected fairly often
it's happened in the primary
too.
Lots
of little things that you're better off not getting a mail-in ballot, going to the polls. If you clear through the people who are monitoring the polls, the poll workers, and you place your vote, it's in. Period. Right? Unless there's some.
Yeah, and the polls are open from 6 to 8. It's a 14-hour day.
Yeah, you're better off not doing it. So
yeah.
I use 32 Farm Lane, post office 5146. And depending on what I'm using it for, the top one is the one I want, but I can do it on both, so I'm covered.
When my son got his driver's license, I was shocked because he put as the address P.O. Box 326, Roosevelt, New Jersey, and I was shocked that they accepted that at the DMV without a street address.
Well,
so I don't know if it was an oversight or...
Yeah. No, I have that.
You do?
Yeah.
I didn't think they would allow that. Because the police, if you're stopped, they want to know where you live.
Yeah. Well, originally I put 72 Pine Drive. And then I needed the P.O. box, so I went to Motor Vehicles, and they said, well, they're all put online. I said, yeah. And for that year, I had the address and the post office license.
That's what I do.
But the next year, my license came out without the post
office. Yeah, we're in such a weird little niche here that just we don't fit anywhere. But I am going to try to, like after the new year, see what I can do about
our mail. Yeah, I wonder how many people have that experience where the ballots were rejected.
So you know how many people? One or two?
No, I'd like to find out.
And it happened to you?
I'd like to find out and put a letter into the bulletin and ask for responses. So we can find out how many people. Because it's really irksome.
Well, it's
wrong.
Mine has the street address and the P.O. box.
Rejection.
And I got a rejection.
It's only my guess. It's the P.O. box. That messes everything
but
up.
All the time address.
I know, but and then they see that P.O. box and they go, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, but they had 3 months to look at it. It's like, I voted very early.
If we have two people here who had that problem, and I had that problem too.
For the general election, yeah. That just, so your vote didn't count.
I had a post office box, 263-8200. I put both just in case.
See, I got to tell you.
And it was rejected because it had a post office box.
See, I.
No, that's not right.
They get mad at me at the post office.
Did you cure it?
They didn't give me a chance. The letter I got was 3 or 4 days ago.
See, they get angry at me at the post office, but I won't use my phone. If it's important, I don't use the P.O. box. And I know they get angry at the post office, but at least it'll come to me because they have to look it up. And I know they're not happy about that, but if it's important, I don't put my P.O. box on there. Like, I'll put sweet, but if it's really important, I just put my street address because it's crazy here.
Well, the postmaster knows because I went to him with a letter that he had to stamp, and he understands that it's like some people will, some people won't.
Yes, yeah.
That comes in the polls. We'd like to see you, and I think it's smoother and easier to.
We should make that announcement.
I was going to say we should make that announcement in May.
Yeah. We should make that announcement in May.
Both of you had the problem with the polls.
Yeah.
Alan, you too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to go to the polls.
And they didn't say anything until about a week ago.
That's a Christina Hamlin, but.
Yeah, a week ago. I mean, you should have a chance to cure it. If you don't know it,
that's just wrong.
That's wrong. In enough time, it's too late to cure it. So,
way too late.
I don't know if there are laws. Are there laws about local? Is it a local thing for how long and what process they. Do they have to give people a chance to cure the ballot?
Yeah, they're supposed to give people a chance to cure, a ballot cure letter.
2 weeks.
Okay.
That's why it takes two, three weeks before you get a certification.
Right.
Well, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, they can't start counting until 8 o'clock. So even though you mailed your mail-in ballot 3 weeks ago, they can't open it up.
Three months ago, they can't open it up.
Yeah, see, it's on the outside of the envelope.
Yeah.
So you probably got a cure letter, yeah?
No.
You didn't get a cure letter either?
No.
No? No cure letters.
Maybe the cure letters apply only to signatures? I don't know. I don't want to speculate. The superintendent of elections, I can answer that question for sure.
Yeah, they would be able to.
They can tell you exactly what the deal is.
No, she's the county clerk.
Chris Siciliano is the superintendent of elections,
right.
And the who's it? Judy Rickey.
Mm-hmm.
What's
her
position?
She's special deputy, but with the board of elections.
To the board of elections, one of those two people can definitely answer the questions that you're asking.
It's the
no doubt in my mind.
Registration.
I would.
What's his name?
Chris Siciliano.
Yeah,
because it has to do with PO box. Chris Siciliano. I mean, you want me to call him for you? I have his cell phone. He's be the mayor of Ocean Township. So I can call him.
Yeah.
I mean, the voter election counts, but the registration.
Chris is in charge of the voter rolls.
Right. It falls under him, the registration. So.
I can call and ask him.
If there's two, there's probably more, I would think.
As a random sample, two of us in this room with what, 10
people?
Well, I don't think he can change the rules, but he can at least tell me why that happened and how you should do it so that it doesn't.
It's
you can do
come
it under
the
bulletin
box.
With like an answer for people, you know?
Yeah. I bet it comes up the P.O. box. It's like the bane of our existence here.
No, it said it didn't help because it was addressed to a P.O. box.
Oh, see? Yeah, I leave it all.
This is not the first time I voted that way, and I'm beginning to wonder whether all the other votes didn't count either, and they didn't bother with a single letter.
Yeah, how many would get? How many got rejected out of Roosevelt?
That's what I just said. Yeah.
And you returned the ballot, so you got the ballot in the mail, and then you returned the ballot.
Right.
And what did you do? You filled out the P.O. box on the flat, or your address and P.O. box on the flat?
It was already there.
It was on the,
On
the flat, a flat by the post office box 263 and 82 by drive.
What did you stand for?
And then they sent it back and said it doesn't count as a P.O. box.
Right.
I never use a P.O. box, ever.
Now, come on.
But you were here all day. Why would you vote by mail? I'm just curious. You were here all day.
Oh, I set it up a while ago.
Yeah, people set it up a long time.
They do it automatically then.
What was the address?
I know people that vote as soon as they get it, so they make sure they get their vote in case they die.
I know someone who voted.
They're not the most optimistic people I
know.
No,
I know someone who's 97 and she got her vote in.
I did it when Nancy was ill.
Hello.
She needed me to
I know someone personally who died. October 22nd, and
so their vote counts.
It depends what state you're in. But she was in Virginia, and her vote counts. In New Jersey, it does not.
Oh, if they're registered.
It does not. I looked it up because she was so relieved. She knew she was dying, and she was so relieved that she got her vote in. And I looked it up, and yes, in Virginia, there were a number of states, but New Jersey, if you vote and die before the election, your vote does not count.
Okay, Lou has a question for you, Mike.
What was the address on your sample ballot?
I don't remember.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It had to go to a post office box, didn't it?
No, because they're not happy about it, but they'll deliver it to you.
Do you know what was on yours?
That
what you wrote was...
I did not have to write anything because it was already printed out. You only have to if someone else is returning it to the post office.
No, but when they sent you your letter, how was it addressed? Telling you that your vote didn't count.
I don't remember.
That would be interesting to see how they addressed it. That would be interesting to see. Either write sweet or if it's really important, I leave it off.
But the main thing is, why don't they give you a chance to cure it?
Right.
Yeah, I understand about the P.O. box, but what is it that you can't tell me about it so I can fix it?
In time.
Right.
In time.
Right.
You know, I would think that the sample ballot would be the official one for you.
Watch it, it'll say P.O. box. Okay, getting back to... I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 8:07 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like... I thought we were done.
You just brought up
we
the ballot.
Did.
You
I thought you were going to bring up some things, or is that in the mayor's report?
I was going to do the mayor's report after public comment.
Okay.
Anyone from the public like to say anything at all?
I'd like to ask.
Would you stand up and tell us your name and your address?
My name is Ari Krendel. My address is 38 North West Valley. And I would like to know what's going on in the corner of the commercial property that is for sale, but apparently nothing is allowed to be open there in the township.
Oh, you're talking about the deli, the on
factory?
Next to the post office.
The factory.
Oh, the factory.
The old factory, the old Toyota factory.
What about a Toyota? No, it's not a Toyota.
Toy factory. It used to be a toy factory.
No, it was a button factory many, 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 many years ago, and then in the more recent times, it was a packaging factory and sort of like ice packaging.
From my understanding, I understood that it was a toy factory.
No.
But again, it might be wrong. But from my understanding is there's nothing that the township will allow to open there to a new buyer, and I would like to know what is the proper channels to... I don't want to go and buy it, and then the township's not allowed to put nothing there.
Well, right now it's privately owned. The township, our town, we're a borough.
Mm-hmm.
Our borough, our town, has absolutely no jurisdiction over it. It is privately owned, and the people who own it have chosen to have it be empty, to not open a business there. I do believe that there was a business they were interested in opening, and they were denied by the county the business that they wanted to open. They wanted to open, from what I understand, they wanted to open a bakery, mm-hmm. and the county would not allow them. But
what was the, do you know of any sense what was the restriction like?
No, the county.
Well, the county's Board of Health is there.
Yeah. You're
talking about the Board of Health?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Board of Health told them, though,
yeah.
from the county.
Yeah.
But we don't know why, though.
We don't know why. They don't owe us an explanation.
So as far as the township, if I want to go and open a bakery there, the township will not have any problems.
No, no, no. So right off, if the Board of the Monmouth County Board of Health would become involved, and they would talk
right,
to you.
Right. Let's talk about it this way, easier, Mayor. There's zoning, so the property is in a zone. You can go on our website.
It's only industrial, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, and so all the uses that you can use there as of right are listed online in our zoning code, in Chapter Z of our code, and that's what you can do there without seeking a further permission from the town. Okay. And then in terms of whatever, I don't know, whatever business you're running there, obviously, like, for food, has the Board of Health that has to come inspect. If you're doing something with automotive, could
as
be the same. That's the business owner's problem.
As far as I understood, the problem was with the zoning. That was the health problem. That the zoning. But again, it's between brokers and.
I
don't know why the guy will not proceed. He still owns it and pays a crazy amount of mortgage every month. And that's.
So if you figure it out, you can come back and let us know.
Well, we
haven't been able to figure it out either.
Another restriction, though, is to the building itself.
It's a historic building.
So
it's doubly protected in our town. It's protected because everything within the borders of Roosevelt is on the National Registry of Historic Places and the State Registry. But also in our master plan, it's specifically mentioned. So there are many restrictions given the fact that it's a historic building. But it is privately owned, and the towns had very little interaction. It's
you're saying is there's a lot of restrictions
on how to modify it, not what you can do there, though.
But now it makes a lot of sense. The roof needs to be replaced, and one of the points of this probably Board of Health that they're not going to pass the construction renovation because it's in the roof, but then because of the restrictions. There is no allowance to fix the roof. So if we can't fix the roof, not we. Whoever is
That's a fair supposition. I can tell you this, being here, like, we get notice of those applications, and we have gotten really no notices about people officially doing. Maybe people chased down and called people and asked questions. So, like, I don't know. I don't want to speak for the owner. But, like, here, you're the clerk. You get everything. We have gotten virtually nothing for that building since the gentleman bought it.
Not virtually nothing.
Yeah, so we haven't got a zoning permit, so we don't know if people called or chased things down. I'm sure that happens all the time, but in terms of, like, official paperwork filed here, we don't have anything, and we don't know why he spent that money for the building.
Let's hypothetically speak, and I buy the property, and when I knock it down, I can't.
Right.
I can't. So I need to fix, based on the restriction that the building has, anything that will try to bring the building up to code will not be allowed because it's restricted because it's an historic building.
No.
If I had advice for you, you just have to get, SHPO's permission?
Yeah.
So you have to get the State Historic Preservation Office's permission to do it. And so we're going through that with another one of our structures in town, as everyone here is familiar with. And so if you get a professional, like an architect, that they will coordinate with that agency. It's just like coordinating.
No.
But that's with the state. No, it's not with us.
Well, but will the town restrict it? That's my question. Because I want to start with the town, then go to the county, then go to the state.
Okay, so
I don't want to do the county and the state and then come back to Roosevelt Town.
Roosevelt had no communication with the factory owners whatsoever.
No, yeah. Not the owners. I'm talking about the restrictions.
Right, but I mean, as far as I'm coming...
Our restrictions are limited to Chapter Z online, and that's what the uses are. It's just zoning like anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And then there are other things like SHPO and other regulatory agencies that you would have to deal with depending on the business or certainly the building to modify it. But in terms of from the borough, it's just the Chapter Z online and the land use procedures, and then all kind of then it washes out pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, the best way to do it is I would recommend getting the next, like, a professional, like an architect or someone who is in that industry to help you with it.
To help me with...
Yeah, but in terms of, like, denials, like, this town is not denied or rejected or anything for that property since I've been sitting here for 7 years, so.
Well, it was sold about 2.5 years ago.
And we haven't heard anything.
And I know, I met with the guy who bought it once.
From time to time, he was talking about cannabis mm-hmm. businesses, and he sent the cannabis businesses to us to ask if we were opposed to it or what have you, and we told them we're not really opposed to it, bring us an idea, and then those people never came back. But there was only two or three of them. You guys have all said
that. Well, you mean that's a new buyer that wants to buy it now?
Correct.
Okay.
Or rent it?
No, I don't think so, Greg. The people who bought it 2.5 years ago, the original intention was to open a kosher muffin factory.
Yes.
Then they were told by the County Board of Health, they were denied. We don't know why, we're not told, but they were denied. So then their next idea was cannabis. Then we never
the same owner?
Yes.
Okay.
But then we never heard anything, and then the next thing we knew it was up for sale. It's been for sale for quite some time.
Jeez,
really
much money.
Well, yeah. but they did mention cannabis. We said we'd be open to discussing it, and we never heard anything. But it is the same owner for 2.5 years now.
So if we go back to the bakery area, and I somehow can clarify it with the county health board of health to get it approved, the township doesn't have any...
Yes, the planning board has some...
You have to get site plan approval.
That's
so, like, if you're
first.
Doing a commercial property anywhere in New Jersey,
right.
Basically, you have to get site plan approval. You have to tell the planning board where the trucks are coming in, where they're going out, where the garbage is going to go, that sort of thing. But, I mean, that's for anything. You could do that, I mean, that's anywhere.
I understand, but that's what I'm saying. If there would be a bakery over here, will that be, if there will be any opposition from the town to the whole project? Before the state, before the county?
But the county has jurisdiction over the town.
I understand.
They supersede our law. So if the county says no, we cannot overrule the county. The county has final authority.
Look, I can't speak to the hypothetical application, but I was there opposition to the guy's idea for the first bakery anywhere in
yeah,
town?
Yeah, they denied the...
No, from
the
town.
From the town.
The town has had absolutely no
communication.
Yeah.
It was the state, or it was the county, and the town said.
I follow you. No, there was no opposition here. It just didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't come to us. And I saw state fire marshals there quite a few occasions, and they said there are multiple violations there. So
well, that we know.
Well, that's because of
that's not uncommon in a vacant.
Well, not just because it's old. There are real problems there.
Yeah.
Because it's an old building.
Well, and it hasn't been cared for properly, so.
Fire code violations are not uncommon in vacant buildings without a tenant, because when your tenant comes in and builds out the space again, they take care of all that stuff as part of the permit process. So, yeah, it's not ideal, and it'd be great, but that's not incredibly uncommon in a commercial situation to have fire code violations at a vacant building. Trust me, that guy would rather have it filled because it cost him a fortune to insure it empty versus if he had a tenant there, for a fire insurance perspective.
Not in this case. If you didn't really want to rent it. Look, let me rent it to them. I don't want to.
Well, I think you're starting to figure out where the problem might be.
Possible. Yeah. Right. So what I'm trying to get from this meeting, that's where it came, is if I'm moving forward toward acquiring this property, the township will not be the one who is going to put
approval or disapproval.
I mean, it's your planning board, though. That's hypothetical.
Yeah.
You can't really...
Well, unless it's a food business.
You can't...
You're thinking of a bakery, right?
Our only involvement in whatever you're going to do out there is contained in Chapter Z online. You go on our website, you click on, I don't know what the heading is, but it's administrative code. You click there, you go to Z, you go to the section that the zone that property's in. That tells you what you can do, and that's the only time you're really going to hear from us. That's the best way to explain it to you. And no one, I don't think anyone here, is generally opposed to having a full property that we get to tax more. So.
If I may, another question. The property that I own, is zoned on the map as agriculture.
Is it in town?
Yes. And the
what property is it?
38 Northwest.
That's the RAG 400 zone.
Did you from Paul Friedman? That's Friedman's house.
I don't know.
Next to the gas station.
My house is right across the street.
Yeah, it's Friedman's house.
Oh, where the girlies?
It's the one that you brought to the water.
He might be new to town. He might not know that we don't refer to addresses. We refer to who lived there 55 years ago, and that's how we determine that most
of it. Was there like 6 years ago.
It's wildly confusing to people like the attorney in the court.
Very long driveway. Yes. Like,
very long.
Okay. Ah, the Maryland property.
Yeah.
Oh, you bought that property?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
That's not that old, that property, though.
What?
No, that's not that old, that property.
In 1990.
Yeah.
That's when they built it. I mean, a lot of questions to what happened there. There used to be a house before there?
No.
No.
Because there's an old septic, or not septic, some sort of...
It's probably from George's...
The previous owner was Friedman?
No, I had the wrong house. I didn't realize you were at the end of the driveway. You keep saying right across the street, there is a house like directly across the street, that was Friedman's. Yeah. You're down the long driveway, that was Gurley's
house.
Yeah. But you can't see your house from the street. Right. Yeah.
The first house in town was the one directly across the street of Friedman's.
Yeah, that was the sample house.
Not down the driveway, but on
the road. Somehow it was allowed to be built. And there's a lot of.
Your house, yeah.
Yeah.
It was about, what, 30 years ago, maybe?
34.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back to my question. It's zoned in the agriculture.
The house? Or
the whole property.
Property.
Okay. Yes, and I would like to do a farm to turn it into an actual farm to be farm assessed. Is there anything I need from the town before I go to state, actually county and state? Because the process over there is very confusing.
Yes, you need the same land use approvals. And so in the RAG 400 zone, there are specific types of farms that you're allowed to have. And then the rest are not mentioned. So I believe you can have a farm for the buying of fruits and vegetables. Let's say you want to do a Christmas tree farm or something like that. Which is the most you have to sell 600. First of all, it's more than 5 acres, and you have to sell, I believe, I think it's like not a lot of money worth of agricultural goods in the property to get full tax exemption.
You need to make $1,200 a year.
$1,200, right. So most people just plant Christmas trees and then sell a few of them at high prices. The Christmas tree farm is technically not permitted under that Chapter Z. So you would have to get whatever, you can go to Chapter Z and it'll tell you exactly what kind of farm you can have. And if what you're trying to do does not fit within that, you apply to Jeremy in the front, who's here from 5 to 7 before our meetings every time. And then he'll give you a denial and you go to the board. And frankly, if you want to do a farm, there's really not a heavy lift in the RAG zone for obvious reasons. But same thing, because then the farm is technically commercial. It's not like just a residential property anymore. So depending on what kind of operation you're going to do or what kind of improvements to get that farm use going for the Q farm, that you may need that site plan approval again, because then we're talking about commercial property again.
Even though it's on a... because right now they ask me to have a farm for 2 years before I can turn into a farm.
Correct.
And then how can I turn on a farm?
So the best way to prove them to them that you turned it into a farm is to get land use approval here.
Okay, so get the land.
So if you want to do a type of farm that's listed in Chapter Z, you just literally fill out a piece of paper to Jeremy and give it to him, and he says he signs it because it's permitted. And that's it. And then you have a date at which you're approved to be a farm to go take for your Q farm application. And if you need more help with that, we can hook you up with a tax assessor who is here in our building with certain hours, and she can help you do that as well.
She's not actually. Donna Taylor. Appointment.
Oh, she doesn't. We can make an appointment with her.
You can,
she's very responsive. And then she can help you do that specifically.
Okay. So
but that's not terribly hard to do with 25 acres.
So I'm understanding correctly, land zone approval from Jeremy. That's step number one.
I think step number one would be to make him...
Are you farm or just growing it for yourself?
25 acres, I don't know.
I think the first thing you should do is talk to the tax assessor. Because if the goal of what you're trying to do is to obtain the Q farm tax exemption...
I don't need the exemption. I just need the allowance to actually do it. I want to have a farm.
Okay, then stop at Jeremy first, then. That works.
I don't think the taxes will be any lower because most of my property is wetlands. So it's not taxed anyway.
Yeah, but I mean,
only the residential part is what I'm taxed at.
I think if you have more than 5 acres and you sell more than 1,200, you don't pay any taxes at all.
No, you do. boots.
Do you?
I
mean, I don't,
get actually tax on your 1 acre.
Oh, just the homestead.
So okay. That's where the bulk of your taxes are.
Oh, so I follow you.
And the 24 other acres are.
If you didn't buy a farm. I'm not saying. I would have a place as a farmer on your farm if I get a farm.
So you want either livestock or grow stuff or.
Probably livestock. That's what I would.
You're definitely going to need a zoning permit for that. Because we only allow horses.
What about donkeys?
You can, with a variance, you can. But you have. But the only things that are permitted are fruits, vegetables, and horses, I believe, in the RAG right now.
I thought we could have.
Oh, and wineries. If you want to create a winery, we got that too.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
I thought we could have goats.
Not as a farm. You can keep goats, but not as a farm.
Yeah.
Use.
Did you get a wetland delineation on the property, do you know?
Say it again.
Well, the wetland delineation.
Yeah, the wetland is a completely
right, but did you get that from DEP? Did you submit an application to do a wetland delineation? And they'll give you a map of the area that...
The whole property is wetland. Not all of it.
When did you move in?
Beside the home, where the house is. 2020. COVID. COVID.
Oh, yeah. You've been there? Oh, okay.
I mean,
we bought it in 20.
DEP may have something.
Oh, they would have. That's why he'd have to get that wetland.
Yeah. Where'd you come from, just out of curiosity? Where did you come from?
We came from Cranberry.
Oh.
We had a property in Cranberry.
Oh, not far away.
And it was here.
Well, the State Agricultural Development Commission, DCA, I think it is, or something like that.
SADC.
Yeah, might want to talk to them also because they are.
Well, they're going to be the first one to speak to you because of the weather.
It's the weather, you got to talk to the DEP.
I'm not clear, and the weather is federal. So that's a whole state, a whole county, and a whole town. Right. But I cannot start any process before I know that the town is around.
Really, the first thing you need. I don't think he's doing commercial. He's not going to have people come down.
I don't know what's commercial and what's not commercial.
Well, if you sell it, it's commercial. If you sell it to the public.
Open up to the public, but if he sells
business invitees. So if you're going to have some people pick pumpkins on the property, that's commercial property. If you're going to grow pumpkins on the property and then ship them off to sell them someplace else, then you probably don't need
commercial because you're selling it.
That's not commercial.
It's the easier way to say it is business in, forget about commercial, whether we're doing commercial or business invitees. If you're going to bring people onto the property, then you're definitely going to trigger site plan approval, right? Because we got to make sure that people can get in, there's a handicap spot, all that sort of stuff.
But if they don't?
If you don't, then you probably don't need site plan approval, and you're probably just solely under the jurisdiction of the state as a farm.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to be a pain in the butt. But if I don't have any keys, I don't need to lend a permit from Jeremy, or I do?
You should get it. You have to get a permit from Jeremy if you're going to change the use, if you're going to make it a farm. To protect your rights.
It's already in the act, though.
So, but his permitted, I guarantee if I pull up his property tax record card right now, it's a single family home.
So we need to really talk to the tax assessor, too.
Yes. Yes.
And you really, if you don't have a wetland delineation, you really need to get one.
They tell you where the wetlands are officially.
No, but officially.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Kathleen, at the end of the day, if he's going to clear the land, it's not a jurisdiction. Just like the Wong Soil Forum, we can't solve that problem because it's not a jurisdiction. Same thing. So if he gets the use of a farm and he's good on gets our zoning permit, then whatever he's doing with the land on his farm is going to be the state's issue, not us.
Yeah,
it's called the right to farm and all that sort of stuff. It takes it out of our, it's really from Howell. Remember they tried to put the hog farm in Howell? And so, really, why can't you have a hog farm in Howell? They had all the land, they had everything there, because the local zoning shut it down, so it's all tied together. Long story short, a lot of what you're describing is not going to be our jurisdiction beyond you talking to Jeremy and the tax assessor. What you're describing to me.
Do it with a tax assessor, turn it from a single residential to a farm,
yeah.
And then apply for...
go to Jeremy, tell him that you want to change it to a farm, get the zoning permit, figure out what's necessary there, and then in the same time, talk to the tax assessor and find out, hey, when I get my zoning permit to make this farm, what do I do, what do I need from you? What forms do I need from you to file and to update my property tax record card?
Right.
And then once all that's updated, it'll just, you know, there's a system that's secure.
That is correct.
Wait 3 years.
You do have to wait 3 years before they review a coupon.
The full exemption, yeah.
The exemption is actually 2 years, but that's for the exemption for the taxes. You know,
right.
That's not the point. The point is to have a place with the same farm.
Yeah.
The insurance is cheaper.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
It's like $50 a year.
Really?
Farmer place.
It's
I know that.
Be a farmer. But thank you very much. Thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
What was your name again?
My name is Ari. A-R-I.
And your last name, if you could spell it?
Krendel. K-R-E-N-D-E-L.
Okay. Anyone else from the public? All right. I'm going to close public portion at 8:29 p.m. So I'll go on to my report. I had a few things. One of them was to discuss the AT&T situation. So I don't know. Many residents have called the Borough Hall because we have no anything, no power to restore it, no jurisdiction. We, you know, hopefully Anna can get through to someone, but so far she hasn't been able to. So I guess once they get it up and running, but they're not on the generator, it should hopefully.
I think the generator is the problem.
Yeah. Or the whole power failure from the other night. Okay. And I have something I'm going to read. This is the last statement that I will be making about the text that Councilman Hamilton sent to me on July 7th, because since it was brought up at the last council meeting and I was caught unaware, I'd like to respond and clarify a few points. So, Councilman Hamilton spoke of our 40-year friendship and how we often text each other. This is trivial, but he hasn't even lived here for 40 years. We do not know each other for 40 years. Due to the trajectory of the amphitheater, we ceased having a personal relationship 2 years ago. We do not exchange personal texts. And when the link to the essay was sent to me by him, it described the fascist leaders of the Holocaust and their ability to mislead the foolish public. There was no personal text that said, oh, read this, Peggy, it's interesting, or what do you think of this? It was simply the link. As the leader of this town, it was evident that it was directly comparing me to Hermann Göring. I then became accused of attacking him when I spoke of my horror about the text to the public. I find that extremely ironic and hypocritical, considering he sent me such an anti-Semitic text in the first place. My letting the public know was my response to receiving the text. Then, months later, he wanted it removed from the minutes, which was done, although it is available on the recording. So he spoke at length about our friendship and texting. I'm only led to think that that's because it was an embarrassment to him that it got out into the public, and that this is damage control on his end. And finally, knowing how disturbed and horrified I was, where is an apology? Never once was I apologized to, even though that's conventional behavior or action when you know you have offended someone. So that is my response to what came up at the November 28th meeting. Okay, so a couple more things.
I'd like to just say that I believe...
Well, I'd like to finish my report and then...
This is out of order. This is the point of order you're making, which I think I've already made.
You spoke about what this at two meetings ago.
I have a point of order to make, please. And what you're doing, again, is attributing motives that weren't there to me. And again, this is a violation of our rules of conduct that we vote on a reorganization. Hopefully we will vote on them again in the next reorganization. That we don't do that.
So you can say what you want at the last meeting, but I can't respond.
I'm making a point of order that I believe this is not, it shouldn't be. And also, you right now you're taking your report that was supposed to be in the beginning of the meeting, and you're just rearranging the order of business to again have a personal attack.
No, I have many things.
I want it in the public record that I believe that this is out of order again. And this is no way to end the meeting. I thought this was going to be
about
volunteers, about people working hard together for the public good. People know me, and people know that I'm not whatever in your imagination you have in there. This is just totally improper. It's against Robert's rules of order, and you're out of order with it.
I disagree.
You are.
And you were able to say what you wanted 2 weeks ago, and so now I'm responding.
Doesn't have anything to do with that.
You spoke directly about the text that you sent me. You spoke directly about the text that you sent me.
No.
So this is my response. Anyway, I'm not ending the meeting with that. I have a few other things. So a flyer was sent out to everyone, and it was on the website, and an email blast about Santa coming this Saturday to the post office. However, there was kind of a glitch in the when something happened in Millstone, whatever. It was, anyway, Santa cannot make it at 2 o'clock. Or was it 1? Yeah, he's going to be here at 1 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock. I'm not sure what the... But another flyer will be sent out and also tomorrow, and also an email blast, and it'll be on the website. But if you know anyone or anyone with children, Santa will be here at 1 o'clock Saturday, not 2. Also, for any new residents or someone who may not know, Christmas trees after Christmas or after New Year's can be dropped off at the entrance of the sewer plant at the end of Pine Drive on the right-hand side, right through January 31st, 2025. Okay, and finally, I would like to express regret and a lot of gratitude to Councilman Steve Mocker. He's been on the council for many years. He was the chair of Public Works. He's extremely knowledgeable about Public Works and infrastructure. He's helped us many times understand things, or he just knows different facts about the borough. And how long were you on, Steve? Like 4 years?
I think it's 4 years. It was one term and 1 year.
Yeah, I think it's 4 years. So for the last 4 years, he's done a remarkable job here and overseeing everything that has to do with our public works or just basic infrastructure issues that he knows a lot more than some of us do. So we'll miss him, and I really want to express our appreciation, Steve, for being on the council for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say also that having worked with Steve, walked through the swamps, walked through the fields, into the creeks, talked to the beavers, there's nothing like working with a real professional. And Steve, you are a real professional. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough in my life to work with some very serious people. You take your job very seriously. And it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to work with somebody like you. And I hope that we can continue to, mop the swamps as the years go by, whether you're sitting here at the council or whether you're just advising us, me, about what's going on. I mean,
it's good to know that I was able to fool somebody.
You did a great job fooling.
And I hope you still come to our meetings, because that's how we rounded you up to begin with, because you showed some interest by coming.
I was dumb enough to sit over.
That's right. And you knew. And
the
you
only
knew,
one person in the room.
And you knew the answers to things that we didn't. So it was like, whoa, let's grab this guy. So
you
I do hope
you. Get involved with any political things, either he stayed out or fried. You didn't demean anybody at public meetings.
Let me jump in and interrupt you, Mike. Whatever's going on between you two does not belong in council meetings. It belongs in the parking lot.
Here, here.
I'm sorry. Okay, I mean, my union up in New York, we would come to fisticuffs. We tell them to take it.
But we're not allowed to do that here.
That's why I live in Jersey now.
That's a Facebook
sport. We're nice people. That doesn't need to happen at council meetings. We should talk about this stuff like somebody like us, Steve, did a great job this past 5 years.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And please come to meetings still.
Okay. I also want to thank you to Steve because he helped us in the last couple of years on the amphitheater project and doing the survey over there. Anytime I had a question, was able to advise. I really appreciate it.
I can't say no. You live right next door.
Our apologies to Mary for borrowing you all the time. You know, she's like walking Ollie and you're out in the woods holding sticks and stuff like that, you know. So it's been a pleasure.
It has. It's been good, Steve.
Anything for you from you, Lou?
I think you did. Can we ask a question after you leave?
That's what I said. Please come to meetings.
Anything I can help with them.
And hopefully it'll be
a
nicer room by January, hopefully.
I love
room.
It's like what I'm used to.
It's like a Roosevelt house, right?
My
cold and damp.
Pickup truck. Yeah, this is great.
Well, this is like a Roosevelt house, cold and damp.
I can tell you how to
walk
home.
No, you can't.
Take a long stick and put something you like on it.
It's little smoked sausages.
Do they come in a can? You can get those like in a little can. Counselor, do we need a closed session?
Anything from you?
Well, I just said I was going to be sad that the people have Steve in it next to me.
Ralph's a good guy. Yeah. You're not going anywhere, right?
No, I've
known
Ralph my whole life, but...
Oh, okay.
and Mike, anything?
Well, just what I said, he stayed out of the political fray. He just did his job and very professional, as I was saying. Often available if you had a question about something. I mean, he knew how to read maps and read engineering things.
He could do everything we couldn't.
Well, he did. He did for the amphitheater project. He actually did a good map of it. And we kind of needed it to get our orientation with things. So, we appreciate it. Thank you, Steve. And thank you for the council members who decided to run for re-election. And stay here, and congratulations to Ralph Warnock, too.
Counselor, do we need a closed session?
Yeah, we're okay to see you.
Okay. So don't forget our next meeting, which is reorganization and a regular meeting, is Monday, January 6th, which, as I said, coincidentally, is our regular night that we would meet anyway.
Yeah, that is for us.
Yeah, it's interesting.
January 6th?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep, right. 7 o'clock.
7 p.m., right?
7 p.m.
Joe moved to adjourn. Second?
I'll be here.
All in favor? Time out, 8:41. Right. All right.